2, verse 17 through 21. Amen. Proverbs 22, 17 through 21. I would ask all the men possible to join with me at the men's conference. I may preach something they don't like, and if you could back me up, that would make me feel better. Amen. I tell them like I tell pastors when I go preach for them the first time. I'll tell them, I said, I may not help you, but I promise I won't hurt you. And so we're going to go and have a good time at men's conference. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 22 and 17, bow down your ear. In other words, all right, let's just come together here and let's listen. He wants our ear. Hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart unto his knowledge. Amen. Are we ready for a little knowledge? You want to know something so that we can apply it? Amen. You know what? Let's not ever draw a line as far as what God can give us to make us more like him. We are not given, that's not something that's given to us. We should never have lines when it comes to God trying to stretch us, mold us, and make us to be more like him. Amen. It will put you out of your comfort zone because everything you've done for all your life is what you're used to. Everything you've ever been is what you're accustomed to. But I can promise you, for you and I, the Lord would love to ultimately wind up with something totally different by the time it's said and done. And by that time, let's pray that a lot more is done than said. Does that make sense? It's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall withal be fitted in your lips. That thy trust, everybody shout trust. Say it again. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make you to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou might answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Amen. We want people, there are people that I know and that I am associated with, especially in the ministry, that they're like, you know, some people you get to know and then the more you get to know them, the less you like them. But others, the more you get to know them, the more you like them. I want to be one of those people. And I want everyone at Landmark to be one of those people. Amen. And so, if we're going to be in competition with one another, let's be in competition to be more like Jesus. All right. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about trusting him. We're going to talk about trusting God. And I almost want to say, I mean it. I mean it. I really am. I'm going to talk about trusting God. Because as we teach this and you hear this, I want you to mean it. I want to mean it. I want you to mean it so that it can make a difference. If it's serious to you and if it's real to you, then it will make perhaps a little difference tonight. So let's look to the Lord and ask God to help us do this. In Jesus' name. Master, we call upon the name. We trust in the mighty and the wonderful name of the Lord. We ask you right now, God, to penetrate the mind, the heart, and the souls of every individual in this house, from the platform to the back door, from side to side, center to circumference. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, penetrate our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits with the word of the Lord this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you as you're seated. Thank you so much for being in the house of God again. Amen. I've said it before, I think, to Landmark, but I want to read it again where it says, Reverend J.T. Payne, an outstanding Bible scholar and teacher, pastored a lot of years in Georgia. He passed from this life on October 7th, 1987. And shortly after his death, a note was found in his Bible that read, "Trust is a dimension that is beyond faith. Faith will see miracles, but trust will carry you through when you can't understand why faith didn't work. Not always can faith deliver from the den of lions, but it's trust that will be able to keep you. Not only faith will deliver you from the valley of shadow of death, but trust will carry you right through that valley." Amen. Where faith might not get what you wanted every time, trust will. You can have faith for someone to be raised from the dead, and it may not work every time. You can have faith for an ear to be unstopped or an eye to open. I've prayed for the blind and no results. I've prayed for the deaf before and no results. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you trust God, it will work every time without fail. Amen. So, trust is a very vital, very important, and I don't know how to explain it to you, how paramount trust is. Amen. Trust is there. Trust should be there when faith is not there. Amen. I remember witnessing to a lady in Salisbury. I went to a place of business. It was a printing business. And I walked in, and she said, the lady asked, she said, "So what are we printing today?" And I told her it was some paraphernalia for where I was preaching. And she said, "So you're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." She said, that's all I want to talk about." I said, "Okay." She said, "I used to have faith in God, but I don't have faith in God no more." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "There was a time I was living for God." She said, if I prayed for the sick, they recovered. I'd pray for everything, and they'd all be recovered. And she said, "All of a sudden, my dad came down with cancer, and I prayed for him, and he died." And she said, "God didn't let my faith work for that, so I'm not going to work for God." Really? You know what her God was? Her God was her faith. And I'm telling you right now, if faith alone is your God, you're going to get disappointed in your God. Because you cannot curve God's will. You cannot curve what's on God's mind. You can have faith, but when faith doesn't see you through, it would be good to walk away and say, "Lord, I trust you anyhow. You're up to something here, and I don't know the big picture, and so I trust you anyhow." She'd still be living for God if she had trust associated with her faith. So do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So trust is not it's not a characteristic that we inherit. Amen. It's not something that we can due to Adam's fail, subsequently plunging us all into the abyss of sin. Man, rather, he inherited distrust. That's what we inherited. Amen. And it's hard for people to trust people. You say, "Well, they let you down." Not all of them. So keep trusting. You'll find another one that won't let you down. And when they do let you down, don't go with the pity party. Find somebody that you can trust. Hello? Don't give up on God. He's not the one that lets you down. Don't give up on your worship. Don't give up on your praise. Don't give up on coming to church. Amen. Stretch yourself and grow a little bit and get a little maturity about yourself and understand that man is the only problem that God's got, and you could be one of those problems. Me? Yeah, even you. Well, I don't see that as perfect as I am. Well, you didn't just tell me you were perfect. You just told me you're thinking like a child. And so what we do is when we're children, we're children. But when we're adults, we put away childish things. It's just time to trust God and let God work everything out in His own way. Am I correct? Amen. I like to know I'm preaching the truth. Simply because Satan, he lied to Adam and Eve and about both spiritual and physical things and spiritual and physical death even. Nothing creates distrust quicker than deceit. And this is exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve along with the rest of the human race. He deceived them. One of Satan's greatest ploys, most effective tactics, is that of causing man not to trust God. In essence, he says, you can't believe what God says. To Eve, he said, you shall not surely die, although God had emphatically stated that she would. Resulting from listening to Satan comes the distinct, this inherent problem of blatant distrust toward everything and everybody. And that from this nature and from such a background, God has worked with man and He's produced another plan whereby we can learn to trust God again. In this frame of reference, it becomes unquestionable that God's word can be depended upon, whereas Satan's word cannot. Am I correct? Through the maze of satanic influence, you and I have somehow, you know, we've got to be taught and we've got to learn the invaluable lessons of absolute truth. And that's exactly what our God is, to where Satan is a liar and the father of lies. God is truth and the father of truth. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of avenues through which we may acquire trust in God, but I want to give you three major ones that are right here at our disposal. Amen. That can help you. Number one is God's word. Amen. God's word will build trust. Amen. Studying the track record of someone or something in which to possibly trust can become a basis for your decision. After examining some things, we know that they aren't worthy of our trust, whereas others build confidence in our heart and our mind. Your Bible is one of the most valuable instructors available to teach you how and whom to trust. Amen. But I, you know, and I'll step aside here for just a moment because I feel it, and that is, just because you don't feel you can trust somebody doesn't give you a license not to love somebody. Why can't we love somebody until we can trust them? For a child of God to turn their back on anybody is wrong. You're showing that they can't trust you because you can change your spirit toward them. That's not trust. But being a child of God, whether you're liked or disliked, loved or not loved, whether you can trust them or not trust them, and that does not give me or anyone else a license not to perform our lives as a bona fide child of God. Well, that's the way I am. No, it's not. That came from another source. And that source needs to be melted away at an altar. Praise God. I will, on Tuesday night, I will give you something that will assist you in becoming more for the glory of God. Amen. And that's what I want. And I'm pointing at you right now. But if you don't want it as an individual, I got three more fingers pointing at me. I'll take it three times over. I want to trust God about everything. And I want to be the same person all the time. I'm not talking about my depth and relationship to God. Of course, that has a lot of space to grow. Amen. But I don't want to be a roller coaster Christian. Amen. People having to guess whether I'm happy, sad, mad, glad, depressed, oppressed, impressed. That should never, ever be on someone's mind that is associated with us. Amen. But here's when you have accomplished, and that is when everyone in this house can look at you and say, I wouldn't mind being a little more like that. Amen. So, let's look at some stepping stones to trust. Amen. We've read the Word of God in Proverbs, and so we're to lend our ear and hear. Proverbs chapter 22 told us the words of the wise. Hearing God's word is a prerequisite to great faith. Faith is prerequisite to great trust. First, in our journey, we've got to hear God's word. We don't know what we have faith in if we don't know the word of God. Next, we're to apply our hearts unto God's knowledge. Truth has got to enter into our heart and be believed. It's got to be accepted as fact. Amen. Retention of the word is essential. It must be kept within and hidden our hearts. We know David said that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. So we do that. They withal shall be fitted in thy lips, verse 18 said. God's word must then be spoken verbally and mentally in our self-talk, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Amen. The more we can trust him, the more we will become like him, and we won't have to manipulate situations, and we won't have to work it, and we won't have to ply anything outside of the realm of his will to make situations come to pass the way we desire them. Amen. But we will be in total trust in God, knowing that he will work every situation out according to his will and glory. Amen. Trusting God cannot be acquired without absolute confidence in his word. Amen. We're going to follow these steps because they're true and they're real. Through the word and trust in God, through the word of God, trust in God will be established. Amen. I want that. I want that. Secondly, personal experience. Praise the Lord. Serving God will bring encounters with all types of experiences, and from these you will learn to trust in God even more if you're that person of a positive nature. Experiences won't set you back. Experiences won't make you fall back, but experiences will cause you to trust in God even more. Trials, sickness, hurts. Everybody's been hurt. Disappointments. Everybody gets disappointed on situations. Amen. Even living for God, you're not going to make it in the third heaven. You're not going to live there 24/7. And nobody even thinks you are. So what we've got to do is live our lives simply trusting God. Third heavens will come. Miracle signs and wonders will come. But day-to-day activities will happen. Disappointments, hurts, failure, sickness. All of these things will come our way. Amen. But they will not destroy you if you're determined to be saved, and they will develop in you a deep, abiding sense of confidence and trust in your God. Amen. After nearly 40 years of leading Israel, David, in reflecting upon his many battles, knew whom he could unquestionably trust, and it wasn't his sword. It wasn't his physical mentality. We know that failed him. And it wasn't his family necessarily. But David learned to trust in his God. Remember, he had been betrayed by a son. betrayed by trusted counselors, friends. But he could say of God, in him, this is what David said, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Amen. My personal experience of walking with the Lord over 40 years has taught me that that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is comparable to trusting in God. Amen. All right, then thirdly is instruction. Arriving at the point of being able to trust God, if you're able to trust God, it could be accomplished so much quicker if we would only learn, if we could only learn from others. Amen. In other words, my first line of credit as a teenager was at a tire store. I drove in. I didn't have parents that could buy everything. The money was not accessible, and I was working a meager job as a teenager, and I needed tires desperately, and I drove right into a little tire center there and walked right in the door, and I said, I need tires on my car. He said, well, we'll fix you up right now. I said, well, you don't understand something. And they said, what is that? I said, I ain't got no money. I said, but this is what I can do every week or every month, however you want me to do it. And that guy looked straight at me and he said, son, I like you. I'm going to do this. And I paid those tires off. I think it took 20 years. I'm just kidding. But I paid those tires off. And that began my credit. And so, but I am thankful that I was able to buy wheels on credit and get them put on my car instantly. And I did not have to invent the wheel first. The wheel's already been invented. And I grew up knowing that the wheel is real. Trusting in God is real. Faith in God is real. And if we could come out of our little secluded small areas and rub elbows with other people that can trust in God, amen, understanding the trust of God can come instantly. You can just make payments. We don't have to invent it again. We don't have to invent faith again. We don't have to invent all these great relationship attributes and principles with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People in here have that, and we can learn from that. It doesn't need to make you feel smaller. It doesn't need to make you feel like you look smaller. Amen. You get something from them. They get something from you. We all get something together. Amen. And so we need some instruction. Being able to trust God could be easier if we just get it sometimes from people that already have it. Some of these things are great because we can take what other people have and move on. God has blessed most of us with parents, elders, ministers, friends in our lives whom we could learn valuable lessons of trust. Instruction from God's word by others along with their experiences would be a shortcut to our goal if we would only listen. Somebody shout, listen. That's what, he gave you two ears and one mouth so you could listen twice as much as you speak. Amen. Praise God. Trust in a great measure can be learned through instruction. Look at Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, trust it. Learning to trust God. It's a great truth you and I could continue to learn of. So many have been sidetracked into destructive fields of distrust. And we need to be careful and beware lest this tragedy comes to us. We don't want to lose our trust in God. Distrust is one of the most miserable, defeating, debasing spirits that you can allow to live in your mind and heart. Suspicion, fear, separation, seclusion, cynicism are the lot of those people that distrust. If events and circumstances in your life have given birth to distrust, by all means, I want you to rise above it, walk again in the light and in the quietness of the truth, and feel free again. Get your liberty again. Amen. Feel revived and refreshed again. Amen. Praise God. Let me give you, if you will, the exact difference between faith and trust. I like faith and trust, and I love the subject of faith and trust because they're much like a spiritual Siamese twin that are so connected that no surgery can bring them apart, because if you take one from the other will die. That's how closely associated faith and trust is. Faith is an essential element that we've got to have in coming to God and pleasing God. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know why? Because we don't qualify for anything of God. We can get our righteousness going and all of that before all men and get all that going, and that's a good thing. Amen. I want holiness in this church. I want righteousness in this church. But we've got to understand the Word of God, where the Word of God says, my righteousness looks like filthy rags. What are you saying, God? He is simply saying, I want you to live righteous. It pleases me. I want you to live whole in holiness. It pleases me. But understand, you're walking by faith. You don't deserve what I'm giving you. You have not earned what I'm giving you. This is a grace race. And so if we get to feeling like we can look at others and they're not quite what we are, or others can look at us and you feel like you're not quite what they are, you need to eradicate that and understand that all of us, if we make it, we're going to make it by the mercy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you something. And that is this: your righteousness will suddenly become unrighteous when you think your righteousness is greater than anybody else's. You just destroyed it. Amen. Faith is also a necessary ingredient, foundation, that trust in God is built upon. It's possible to have faith in God while not trusting Him completely. However, it is impossible to trust God without first having faith. So faith becomes a preliminary step in establishing trust in God. Amen. Remember, faith will get you out. But if you trust Him, He can walk you through it. If faith doesn't bring you out, trust will walk you through it. Trust is a step beyond a dimension deeper and than faith. And because many can believe who cannot trust. Therefore, when their faith doesn't produce desired results, they despair. Trust stabilizes and secures us when we don't receive what we have asked and felt we had faith for. When combined, faith and trust are powerful allies. Trust will sustain us in what faith doesn't deliver us from. Trust holds faith in place. Does that make sense? Amen. Trust will hold faith in place. Doubt, it displaces faith, while trust resists and gives no place to doubt. Thereby anchoring our faith in God. When our faith doesn't alter our circumstances, trust enables us to accept life as it is. Remember, faith is the catalyst projecting and propelling you toward and into trust. When faith is retained in God, it will mature into trust. Trust then keeps you from becoming bitter when your requests are not granted. The greatest thing that faith can give us is trust in God. Amen. Beyond miracles, signs, and wonders, or anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Consider these contrasts in faith, and let's develop some trust. Are you ready? 5 points, real quick. Number one, faith accepts things. Faith expects things. Trust accepts things. They're so close together, I got them mixed up. Amen. Secondly, faith produces change. Trust submits to unchanged conditions. Number three, faith reaches. Trust retains. I'm going to tell you something about people. When we begin to reach for them, we're going to get very close to them. And when we get very close to them, we learn of them. And if our association with them goes sour, it's because we couldn't trust God to make them different. So your faith will not work without trust. And your trust will not work without faith. Faith reaches, trust will retain. Amen. Number four, faith rushes. Faith rushes. You and I, we've all seen people instantly healed. We've seen great things. We've seen God do marvelous things. Just innumerable things. Faith rushes in and does a great thing. However, trust knows how to wait. Trust can wait. And I've got a scripture that says something about waiting upon the Lord and mounting up with wings as an eagle. Number five, faith is simply believing. It's believing. Trust, however, is absolutely knowing. Amen. I'm going to go have faith for this lady that's in a wheelchair. Somebody asked you, is she going to rise up and walk? I hope so. Let's go see if she does. Amen. But trust says, I'm going to go pray for this lady. And if she don't rise up and walk, God's up to something in her life. And something's going to transpire from this. And all things are going to work together for the good. And either way, we win. We've got faith. And we've got trust. God is able. And we walk away knowing God is going to make it better. God's going to do great things. Right? Trust is the ultimate relationship between man and God. It is the ultimate relationship between man and God. Nothing supersedes it. Notice from the following examples how trust kept men when faith didn't deliver them. I want to give you these examples. Look at Daniel, a great man of faith. But it was trust in God that caused him to submit to being thrown into the lion's den. Look what faith and trust combined can accomplish. What it accomplished with Daniel. Secondly, look at James and Peter. One was delivered. The other was beheaded. Peter's faith coupled with that of the church delivered him. But when James was beheaded, he needed to have trust. Was one man better than the other? Greater than the other? Absolutely not. But one fell into the fate of trust. The other fell into the fate of faith. Number three, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faith caused them to declare that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. They went in believing God could deliver them. Trust caused them to say this, however. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, we have faith that God can let us just walk around in the fire and not be consumed. But if it doesn't turn out that way, just know this, we trust our God, and we'll never bow to another one. Amen. He was secured in his experiences. Amen. We can go on with scriptures and all of that, but trust never stands alone without faith. For faith is the essential cornerstone upon which it stands. Nothing is presented with the idea in mind of lessening the importance of faith. I'm not lessening the importance of faith. I want you to have faith. I want to have faith. I'm just saying, when faith doesn't match your will and your desire, we have to trust God. And you say, well, then why have faith? Because there are times that the Lord holds out for someone's faith. And we don't know when those times are. And so we have to have faith, because there are going to be those times that the deaf ear is going to open, the blind eye is going to see, and the crooked limbs will be straightened out. They will come out of comas. Amen. You could go by and see Sister English tonight, and she can talk to you. She's supposed to have been dead 6 months ago. Hello? It just goes on and on. Amen. So we have faith. We have trust. With those two, we cannot fail. We will continue on. Continue on. Praise the Lord. My objective tonight is to challenge you to walk in the high road of trust when you feel your faith hasn't produced what you requested. When prayers aren't answered as you wish, don't abandon your faith. Just simply trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, my faith hasn't worked a lot lately. Maybe there's another measure of relationship that God wants you to get to. Did you know that there are false prophets? Did you know that there will be people that will stand before God and the Lord will say, depart from me. I never knew you. He'll say, depart from me. I know you not. You know what that means? I knew you at one time, but I don't know you now. And then the others, he'll say, I never knew you. They never did truly come to him with true salvation and faith. However, they had faith for healings. They had faith for signs and wonders. I know that for a fact, because in the Word of God, they said, didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we raise the dead in your name? Didn't this happen in your name? Didn't this? Look at this great miracle. Look at this great sign. Look at this great wonder. Look at me. Look what I did. And the Lord said, depart from me. I don't know you. So in that regard alone, faith without trust is going to get you in trouble with your faith. And so we need to trust God, ladies and gentlemen. We need to trust His Word. We need to have confidence in His direction. And we need to have confidence when He wants to come in to change our characters, who we are, what we are. And sometimes you will never find out who you truly are until you get into the eye of the storm. But the greatest time to escape is in the dark, because the devil can't see you. So when it gets dark, get out. It's time to escape. It's time to find an altar. Amen. Listen, when you get in the middle of things you can't handle and you don't know what to do, God does. So trust Him. Fall on Him. Believe in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't isolate yourself. Amen. Don't reason about it in your own head. Amen. When Simon Peter had no idea who he was. They came up to get Jesus. He pulls out his sword and cuts the dude's ear off. It lands on the ground. Jesus looked over at his apostle and said, all this and you don't get it. The last thing I want God to do right here, right now, is look at me and roll his eyes and say, you still don't get it. And he, for all I know, he could be doing that. So I want to build my trust, my confidence, that he will lead me and guide me and direct me. And I want him to understand, I don't think I know all this. He put the guy's ear back on. He said, put away your sword. You're getting mean. You're getting hateful. You're vengeance. You're wanting to contrive. You want strife. You want to fight back, resist. All of this, that's not my will, buddy. Would you hang on? I'll get back to you in a few days. And that's exactly what he did. And he used that man to preach the first message in the New Testament church. But all Simon needed to know is who he really was. And in that storm, he met the man in the mirror. And he said, you may have lived that way, but you're not going to die that way. Because he ultimately learned to trust in God. Miracles such as the one with the fishes and the loaves. Wow. Multiplied. They brought throngs of followers. Trust follows when there are no loaves and fishes. When the storms rage and it seems all the world is against you. Trust is unaffected by circumstances. It's the highway upon which the confident tread. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't trust riches. We can't trust in idols. And then the Bible says we cannot trust in ourselves. Hallelujah. We are to, 2 Corinthians said, we are to trust in the God that can raise the dead. The God that can raise the dead. Trust is unaffected by environment. War, peace, poverty, prosperity, sickness, health, life, death. All of life's contrasts become fuel for trust. It requires no insight. Trust thrives in crisis. It demands no signs, no wonders, miracles in order to operate. Trust is quiet. Trust is even youthful. Amen. Seeks no changes in circumstances. It abounds in shadows, reigns in the darkness, needs no recognition. It wears no crown and seeks no throne. It is the silent, unseen fortress of the soul of those who possess it. Trust has no restrictions, no limitations, no demands. It isn't predicated on results. It lives without ifs. In other words, I'll trust God if, I'll trust you if, I love you if you don't hurt my feelings. I trust you. No, trust has no ifs whatsoever. No attachments, no amendments. Trust is worry's treatment. Trust is despair's cure. It's fear's remedy. It's anxiety's balm. And it is absolutely life's healer. I love that old song that says, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's stand together. Job, I guess you could say, was the absolute epitome of trust. Gave his testimony of how he felt about God. I want it to be yours, and I want it to be mine. Job 13 said, though he slay me. He's not talking about the devil. He's not talking about the world, flesh. He pointed his finger at God and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, that's the kind of people any pastor in the world would want in their church. So I'm urging and challenging all of us tonight. Don't wait until the skin is falling off the bone. Don't wait until you've lost everything you have. Just come to reasoning. Get a good look at the person in the mirror. And when you guys get it worked out, everything and everybody around you is going to be fine. Because they don't shape your life. The thing that shapes your life is your trust in your God. Why don't we close our eyes and lift our hands toward the Lord and create something that could that we can draw and that we can soak up and that we can be saturated tonight with what we've discussed together here this evening. Let's ask the Lord to move mightily. He said, I have kept those that you've committed to my hands. Everyone that you've put in my hands, Lord God, I've kept. I don't want to be the first one to fall out because I can't trust him. I want him to lead me. And those five fingers you see, that's the fivefold ministry. I can't help it. It's a natural thing. Some of you have more confidence in preachers. Some preachers out there than you have confidence in me. But can I tell you why? Because you don't know them. I don't want to bust your bubble there, but they're human. The difference is I know them and I still trust them. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all of my trust in the God that I serve. That the God that I serve will take care of them. And the God that I serve will take care of me. And we will be in this together trusting God. Let's lift our hands and thank God for the Spirit that we feel in the house right now. For the anointing that breaks the yoke. That anointing that's going to tear down those strongholds. Hallelujah. Those inherited spirits. Those inherited things. Those inherited thoughts. Those things that bind us tend to keep us and twist it all up. Let us break free tonight and become a new creature in Jesus Christ and trust him. Hallelujah. Now turn your prayer into praise. Worship him with me right now. Praise him with me right now. Exalt him with me right now. Hallelujah. God is right. God is good. And I want to thank him. I want to praise him for the bread that he gives us on Tuesday nights. God bless every one of you in Jesus' name. May your tomorrow be better than any day in the past.